Big news out of Missouri and Louisiana today. The southern states are suing Biden officials for collusion. Collusion with big tech, alleging the government colluded with social media giants like Facebook and Twitter, and I can think of another, to censor and to suppress speech, all under the guise of combating dangerous misinformation. Of course, that's what they always say, right? Just dangerous misinformation. This is huge, absolutely huge for big tech. I'm all over it. Plus, we got to talk about this. I mean, for goodness sakes, you know, the government's out there trying to put together this government disinformation board. Well, what do you think of this? The Department of Homeland Security chief, Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas, does not seem to be quite capable of vetting his own employees. And I just ask, if he can't vet his own employees, then how is he to vet people coming across the border? Anyway, his new head of disinformation says, all kinds of things, or has said all kinds of things that apparently Mayorkas had no clue about. No clue about some of the, well, I guess you could call it disinformation, right? That she was spreading. And we've got more fallout we got to talk about here. More fallout surrounding the Supreme Court's opinion leak on Roe v. Wade as protesters try to rationalize their horrific actions. Plus, oh my gosh, the stock market. Wow. It seems that the Fed just can't fix everything, and investors are finally waking up to that. So where do you invest right now? Welcome, everyone, to the Trish Regan Show. I am Trish. It's so good to have you here. Just a quick reminder, portions of today's program are brought to you by Legacy Precious Metals. There has never been a better time to invest in gold, especially right now. This is the time. So head over to LegacyPMInvestments.com for more. Again, LegacyPMInvestments.com for more. I'm going to talk about gold a little bit later in the program. But let's get right now to our top story. Attorneys General of Missouri and Louisiana accusing President Joe Biden and other top government officials via a lawsuit of colluding with social media giants, including Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, to censor and to suppress speech, all under the guise, of course, of combating dangerous misinformation. Gosh, it kind of sounds like that disinformation board they're putting together now, right, to try and re-educate Hispanics. The very same group that they are losing quite badly. I mean, all the polls show Hispanics are coming over to the conservative side of things, which is very disconcerting, of course, for the Democrat Party. So they got a government disinformation board that's going to address that. We're going to get to that with your taxpayer dollars. We're going to get to that in just a second. But this lawsuit, anyway, out of Missouri and Louisiana, claims that Biden and his supporters during the election used, well, maybe a little too much influence, shall we say. I'm quoting here from the lawsuit, which says, candidate Biden also threatened that Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg should be subject to civil liability and even criminal prosecution for not censoring such core political speech. Wow. Okay, just wow. So here's the thing. Here's the thing. If there's actually a paper trail, if there are actual like emails from government officials and Facebook saying, you got to censor this, you got to censor this, you got to censor this, there may be something here. I mean, this could be a massive, huge deal because, you know, when social media companies are out there hiding behind this premise that they're not the town square, right? They're private companies and therefore can decide what they want on their platforms, what they don't want on our platforms. Should they really have the government in there telling them they can't have points of view that are relevant to half the country, right? You can't just omit conservatives altogether then. And you can't have the government intimidating the social media giants to do that. I mean, this is remarkable stuff. And I got to tell you, it is about time. I have seen it. I have seen it firsthand. I am dealing with Facebook still a year later because they're so upset that we published a story on the Hunter Biden laptop, which, by the way, sourced the New York Post. But you're not allowed to do that, right? You're not allowed to go and source these other organizations, which they've decided are positively wrong. I mean, until the New York Times comes out or the Washington Post comes out and actually sanctions it, you know, you're not allowed to talk about it. Come on. Give me a break. It's really out of control. and something should be done. And you know what? I'm just going to say this. You know, it's on conservatives right now. I realize that the things, you know, they flipped around, right? When conservatives were there, they didn't do enough. They didn't do anything. So if conservatives are back in charge, by gosh darn it, they got to go after this issue. Because you're talking about companies that are really exploiting their monopoly. And I say the word monopoly because they become so big. I certainly hope you're able to see this video because I'm sure the algorithms are going to get tripped. Anyway, I'm just astonished. If I'm talking about the yield on the 10-year bond, I get a notice from YouTube saying it's sensitive material. Are you kidding me? The yield on the 10-year bond, which by the way, is back up above 3%. I'm sitting there trying to explain the inverted yield curve and YouTube says it's sensitive material. You know something else is going on here. And this is why these social media companies are under fire for targeting conservatives, targeting conservative speech. It's wrong. And it's frankly not constitutional. This is a kind of massive problem. And so it's got to be addressed. And I will commend Missouri and Louisiana for taking this on. We've had no response yet from the companies. So stay tuned. Stay tuned for that one. Anyway, turning now to what else is going on, as I alluded to with Mayorkas, and why it's so important that Missouri, Louisiana, and more states recognize the importance of our First Amendment. Because we face some pretty serious risks. I mean, I've already told you all about the Biden administration's, quote, government disinformation board. And, well, now there's a new wrinkle to this story. Because their Russian misinformation expert, Nina Jankowicz, a.k.a. Mary Poppins, because she's known on Twitter for her musical theater singing to Mary Poppins songs about misinformation. Well, she herself has come under fire for previous comments she has made, which, I don't know, might be actually seen as misinformation these days. I mean, she said that the Hunter Biden laptop scandal was just a Trump campaign thing. She also said that the Steele dossier was legit. We now know it wasn't. And of course, that desire of hers to limit free speech on social media platforms like Twitter could be a problem. She shudders, remember? She shudders to think what Twitter might look like under Elon Musk. Anyway, with all this in mind, many people are worried that, you know what, this lady just isn't suitable for this post. And she would ultimately work to limit conservative voices. So 50 Republican lawmakers have introduced a bill now to defund the disinformation board. Good for them. But amid all this, you had Senator Kennedy, John Kennedy, questioning Homeland Security Chief Mayorkas. This is his grand idea, by the way. It falls under his department in a recent Appropriations Committee hearing. And Mr. Mayorkas said that, well, his hiring of Ms. Janowicz was, quote, something that was an internal hiring process and that he wouldn't discuss that with the senator. But, you know, as he was pressed about what you know about her, he admitted that, yes, he's ultimately responsible for the hires. And then when he was pressed again and he wanted to know whether or not Mr. Mayorkas understood what she had said about Hunter Biden's laptop being Russian disinformation, Senator Kennedy also pushed on some of these other issues that she's been noted for saying, which proved to be untrue. What you heard was, quote, I was not aware of that. So Homeland Security Chief Alejandro Mayorkas was not aware of the TikTok videos and the tweets, etc., by Nina Jankowicz. It's perfectly plausible he wouldn't be aware. Maybe, you know, it doesn't get that high up in the food chain. But did he not say to anybody, hey, let's vet the woman who's going to be in charge of something that we know is going to be massively controversial, just the name itself, government disinformation board. You knew that was going to be a problem. And then you put someone in there who's been spouting a whole bunch of stuff that, you know, was just the party line at the time and turned out not to be true. My gosh, I want them to think about this. What happens when the tables are turned? What happens if you had a conservative in there wanting to suppress liberal speech? You see, what they're missing is that it works both ways. The whole point of having freedom of speech in the First Amendment is to protect us from some kind of tyrannical nonsense, right? And yet now we've got a government disinformation board with somebody who spouted a whole bunch of things that turned out not to be true. It's unbelievable. I want to turn now to the other big story that we're following, of course, the Supreme Court leak on Roe v. Wade, because I'll tell you this, it's like manna from heaven, right, for the Democrats, because this serves a political purpose. They got a messed up economy, they got a messed up border, they get a messed up international situation, and all of a sudden this comes along and they think, well, maybe now we can get the independence, maybe now we can get women. So they've got this big issue and they're going to milk it for all it's worth, which is horrible. And I would like, for once, for some authenticity from the left, I would like them to stand up against, for example, the protests that we saw over the weekend, especially when they are designed to intimidate our highest justices in the land. Again, this weekend, we saw all these protests. They were outside the homes of Justice Kavanaugh, Chief Justice John Roberts, and you had about 100 protesters there. So not, you know, thousands, that's good, but 100, still a lot and still pretty intimidating outside their homes. And this is all because they're upset about the overturning of Roe v. Wade. Now, when the protesters made their way to Kavanaugh's house, this is important what they said. And this is according to reporting from Breitbart. Apparently, the protesters at Justice Brett Kavanaugh's home, they were chanting, quote, "No uterus, no opinion." So there's some irony there, wouldn't you say? I mean, just a little bit of irony, because apparently, you know, a uterus now does mean you're a woman. Oh, wow. Don't get me started. Okay. Well, you know what? Look, as this fight goes on, as this fight continues in our country, there's a new movie that's about to be released that I want to tell you about. It's an award-winning film. It's called The Matter of Life, and it cuts through some of the rhetoric and some of the hatred and really goes to expose the real issues, right, surrounding the plight of the unborn children. The Matter of Life, it's going to be available in theaters nationwide for two nights only, actually, May 16th and May 17th. So if you care about protecting the unborn, or if you just want to understand more about this issue and be informed, then this is a movie you're not going to want to miss. I encourage you right now to go to fathomevents.com, fathomevents.com. Reserve your tickets for a theater near you May 16th or May 17th. And I'll tell you, you may just have your own life transformed as you watch The Matter of Life. So again, it's fathomevents.com. Fathomevents.com. And I will say this, whether you're pro-choice, whether you're pro-life, whatever it is, you need to be informed. So go see this film. All right, I want to turn to the markets. Talking about the markets right now. Wow, my gosh. I mean, this was just one bad day. I will say this. We had it coming. I've been telling you for some time, there was just no possible way that we could sustain the levels that we had been seeing in terms of valuations without the Fed there printing all the money, right? I showed you the M2 money supply the other day, like it had gone way up, like printing more money than they ever had. And then, of course, it went way down. Well, when it goes way down, you're sucking it all out of the system in an attempt to curb inflation, and you're causing some more problems along the way in terms of these companies not earning as much money, therefore not having the higher valuations. There's a lot of fear about stagflation now, which, oh my gosh, I feel like a broken record. I've been telling you about for over a year. Anyway, the Dow Jones Industrial Average ending Monday, so the start of the week, down 653. It was down 2%. S&P 500 closing under 4,000. 4,000 was that key level at 3,991 for a loss of 3.2%. And the NASDAQ getting hit the worst, down 4.3%, 11,623. You know, all the tech stocks really, really taking it on the chin. Some of it could be, by the way, related to that lawsuit, although primarily I think it's really an issue of the economy, because you just can't sustain that kind of growth when you don't have the Federal Reserve's helping hand. It's why I said all along, and you know what? If these economists had a couple of brain cells, maybe somebody would have been paying attention to the real-time data. The real-time data all indicated this inflation was not transitory. This inflation was real, and it would stick, and it would be more problematic. And now you got China shutting down again, and you've got this mess in Europe. And consequently, it has an effect on our economy. It really does. I mean, it's pretty pretty obvious. We're going to talk a little bit coming up about what to invest in, because people say, well, how do I protect my money? How do I grow my money? And those are two different things. And it may have a lot to do with your risk tolerance. I want to talk about that coming up. But in the meantime, I do want to alert you to something kind of important right now, given all this inflation, given all these concerns about what's happening, even in the housing market, right? Because mortgage rates are going up. You had the 10-year yield. There you go. See, I'm talking about the 10-year yield again. Better censor me. The 10-year yield up above 3%, you know, firmly above 3%. And so this is going to have an effect on mortgage rates because they're based off of those yields. Now, the good news for those looking to buy a home right now or to refinance their home is that there are ways that you can save money. And this brings me to one of our next sponsors, AmericanFinancing.net, because they can help you save a few hundred bucks, maybe even a few thousand, depending on what your mortgage is, based on a mortgage refinance, especially, you know, while home equity is still on the rise, which is really, really good for anybody who currently has a home. More challenging, of course, if you're trying to buy one. But if you have the home right now, here's the thing. There's just a short window of time, I suspect, for you to refinance because those mortgage rates are going to keep going up. So if you want to get that lower rate, you actually have to move pretty quickly. And you have the ability to shorten the term of your loan, which some people like to do because, you know, who wants to pay the thing for 30 years? I'm a big believer in paying things down early, even if it's just a small interest rate. Access that cash if you need it. Even consolidate your debt. There's all kinds of things you can do. So call American Financing. This is America's home for home loans, and they will give you a free mortgage review. You can learn all about their custom loan options. There's no pressure. There's no obligation, no upfront or hidden fees. Just a simple conversation with these guys to find out ways to save you maybe a few hundred dollars a month, which, you know, can add up to thousands of dollars a year, tens of thousands of dollars long term. So think about the difference that one phone call could make. Give them a call. If you start soon, they say they can close in as soon as 10 days. 1-888-504-0547. That's 1-888-504-0547. You can visit them online at AmericanFinancing.net. NMLS 182334, NMLS, AmericanFinancing.net. Okay, turning to another great, great group of people that I know you've heard me talk about before, but I think it's so important to really have organizations out there that are defending our values and defending our rights as Americans, our conservative values, I should add. So AMAC is the organization that's doing this. Really a wonderful organization of mature American citizens. In fact, it's called Association of Mature American Citizens. It's a conservative, mainly 50 plus organization and just great people. My friends over there, they are so action oriented. They are so committed to representing you and your interests on Capitol Hill and throughout the country every single day. This AMAC advocacy team is really doing a phenomenal job. So you can join, you can support them. You're going to get all kinds of great deals, by the way, as a result of this, by going to amac.us/Regan and start receiving some of these great benefits. I mean, discounts on travel, cell phone plans, restaurants, all that good stuff, all while fighting to preserve America and the causes that we conservatives really care about. $16 a year, join forces with AMAC. And 2.3 million Americans who share your values. Think about that. Go to amac.us/Regan. You can renew, by the way, if you already have a membership today. All right. I promised we'd talk about how you manage your portfolio in light of all this. I want to touch on one thing that I've told you about repeatedly, and that's the level on the VIX. This is the volatility index, which measures fear in the marketplace. I was watching it all day. I was watching it on Friday. I was watching it on Thursday. It was like almost there on Thursday and Friday, but it hadn't crossed 34. I really, you know, I've talked about 34 being that level, 34 and change, even 33.6 you could get away with. But I suspect that there's some momentum now in this downside. And so I still think if you've got a long-term horizon, getting in when you have that much fear, again, the VIX, ticker symbol VIX, you can't trade the thing. You can't buy or sell it. It's just a measurement, which I kind of like because it really gives you a sense of how freaked out people are. And it measures options activity and basically the price on options. So that actually crept up. I'm just pulling what the final number was, above 34 today, 34.75. So it was an increase of 15%. This suggests to me that you're really starting to see some capitulation. You're starting to see investors really say, you know what? We're not in good shape here. This stagflation thing, it's real. And so I encourage you now to, you know, and hopefully you have been sharpening your pencils, but if you haven't, I really want you to sharpen them now. I think there's still a window of opportunity. I think that there's a good chance we could go down a little bit more. We could go sideways from here, but there are some spots where there are opportunities. And that's what's so important. I mean, oil to me is one of them. I've predicted 130 bucks on oil. I think it's going to happen. Oil went down a little bit today, in part because of concerns about the economy and what's going on in China and what effect it's going to have here on gas prices. In other words, right, at some point, if oil gets too high and you don't have enough economic growth to sustain it and support it, then oil should theoretically go down. And as the dollar gets higher as well, because crude oil is priced in dollars, then of course that also has an effect. We did see the dollar inch higher today. Crude oil was down 6.7%, which makes it to me anyway, a little bit more interesting to get back in. And to get back in, I do think it will go to 130. I actually got into it somewhere around maybe it was 94 or 95. And just to give you some more perspective on this, U.S. oil fund is traded primarily on futures contracts, which has some inefficiencies in them. So, and certainly, you know, if you're just actually trying to buy and sell, you can't unless you're a futures trader. So an options trader. So a better alternative might be to try and take advantage of, the Fidelity Energy Sector ETF. It's actually what I bought because it's one of those ETFs that pretty closely tracks oil. Its ticker symbol is FENY. Again, FENY. And like I said, it tracks oil pretty closely, so it's worth considering. Again, small portion of your portfolio. I don't suggest anybody, you know, go crazy on oil, but I do suspect that this one's going to continue moving higher. The other one that is looking increasingly like a buy to me anyway, because I'm a big believer in going into some of these commodities and into indexes and stocks when they are lower is gold. Gold at $1,853, a loss of about 1.5%. Silver as well traded lower. And that's important to note because I do think that long term, gold has an amazing run ahead of it. And that's, you know, in part just our overall fundamentals being as icky as they are. The dollar is doing well right now because of everything that's going on overseas, but can that dollar continue to rally once things settle back down? I mean, don't forget, where does everybody go when there are signs of trouble? They go right back to the US dollar. And I'm thrilled that they do. That's great. You know, for us, there's a lot of flexibility that comes with that. But nonetheless, long term, is the dollar really that well positioned given our debt load, given some of the policy choices people are considering? I suspect not. So with the dollar moving higher, that affects gold, which to me looks like increasingly an opportunity. And you know, it's, I can give a little plug for my friends over at legacypminvestments.com, but you should know long before these guys were ever involved, in sponsorship here, I've been a big advocate for gold and really think it's a worthwhile part of anyone's portfolio. But certainly if you're going to invest in gold, I want you to call these guys over at legacypminvestments.com. They're really terrific. They've been in business, family-run business for about 40 years, and they can help you figure out how to have a gold-backed IRA or to have the real stuff itself. I mean, a lot of people, they just say, you know, I feel better knowing that I have gold in my portfolio. I mean, I just think that is one way I can help hedge some of the really long-term risks that are out there, and they are there and they're not going away. And so if we continue to have this massive inflation, which looks like we will for the foreseeable future, and if we continue to pile on with a debt load that really is unsustainable, you just look at the metrics and Social Security, for example, I mean, we're not going to be able to really keep all this up. I don't know, somehow, some way. I guess they've got to come up with some modern monetative theory to handle our government debts. But the reality is we have some scary long-term fundamentals in terms of our economy, which is why I keep getting back to gold. So call them over at Legacy Precious Metals. LegacyPAMInvestments.com is their website. 1-866-589-0560. 1-866-589-0560. Just a great, great group. Charles Thornback has been on the program a couple of times. Maybe you have seen him. If not, I encourage you to watch his interview. The problem is I just don't think the Fed can stop this. I do not think the Fed can get a handle on this. And I'm so annoyed and I'm so frustrated because it shouldn't be this hard. I mean, these are some bright guys and gals, right? And they're looking at the same data I am. They're looking at, frankly, more of it in a more in-depth way with teams and teams of economists behind them. How could they not see this? I mean, it was so obvious. I said it back in June 2020 when we were getting ready to have all those stimulus checks coming out, the second round. If you were going to do stimulus checks and the Federal Reserve's money printing, at some point you were going to run into trouble. And yet they kept going and going and going and going. And so, yeah, you know what? We're looking at a yield on the 10-year bond that's back up above 3% pretty firmly. It should be, you know, in light of everything that's going on. So it's quite possible that we are going to have a whole lot more pain in the system by way of stagflation, by way of a bear market. I mean, look, after all, if we get a recession, what happens when there's a recession? Typically, there's a bear market. I mean, but this is why, as an investor, it's actually really important to pay attention. It's really important to look at some of these opportunities out there. I'm a big believer in good quality, long, stable companies, as well as, you know, a little bit of portfolio money being allocated to some of the tech sector. I mean, you've heard me talk about Web 3.0, for example. I think that's going to be a major factor in the future. I think back to when I was first reporting in San Francisco, and I remember meeting these two guys, Larry and Sergey, in the lobby of the building I worked in, which was MarketWatch back then. And they were there to meet with a columnist that wrote a tech column that I knew. And she introduced me. She said, yeah, it was Larry and Sergey. And I'm like, huh, you know. And they had this great idea for something. And I remember, you know, they were pretty darn excited about it. But gosh, this would have been 2001. All right. So the NASDAQ, I mean, it was in the middle of a disastrous time. Over the next, you know, year or so, it went from having a high of roughly 5,000 to down around 1,000. I mean, lost like 75%. And, you know, it took us 15 years to recover that. But Google, amazing story. That company, you know, minted a whole lot of millionaires. Anybody who bought that one really made out well. So I say this only because as challenging and difficult as it can be, there are opportunities out there. So you got to go find them. I'll help you, of course, as I can. I mean, I think if nothing else, I want to be here to encourage you to think about your future, to think about your family's finances, and to do everything you can to, one, take advantage of opportunities while still making sure you have enough to be secure, right? That's what life is sort of all about, that security. Thank you so much for tuning in. I want to remind you, if you have not subscribed to this channel, please make sure that you do. Hit the thumbs up, hit the like button, share the video. We got to get the word out, especially in light of big tech and all that, right? Thanks so much again, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow.